This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk, the Culture Corner.
Absolutely. It is 11:35. It is the Culture Corner, and we've constantly been referring to it today, teasing the subject for the day, which is something that's universal, something that is across cultures, geography, race, religion, and it is the pecking order in families. So most families have one of these three characters. Sometimes there are a few more, but most families have the firstborn, otherwise known as the deputy parent. They have the second born, sometimes referred to as the problem child. And then there is the bratty spoiled baby, sometimes called the last born. And for nearly a century, psychologists have studied the behavioral traits of children based on where they fit in the family's hierarchy or pecking order. And there are some correlations, despite us being different by geography, race, culture. There are some, there are some truly cross-cutting similarities around these birthing rights. And then, of course, there's some issues that are unique to the family itself. But we're not talking about those very, very particular, specific, unique characteristics. We're just talking in general, what we're likely to see. For example, The Atlantic magazine says firstborn children, because they're the first, they are nurtured to be leaders. You know, whether the parents do it knowingly or unknowingly, but that's what they do. And so all over the world, you see firstborn children showing up in senior management and leadership roles, because it's something intrinsically that comes from home. In fact, they say that 30% of CEOs of listed companies and politicians are likely to be firstborn children. Whereas lastborn children are sometimes regarded as a bit lazy, petulant, impatient, but also very creative. They're the children in the family who are likely to have a more humanitarian focus, a conscientious focus on the world, because, you know, that's what they do, right? They've got enough time to mull over solving the world's problems because they're not expected to wash the dishes type thing. So there's some discipline issues there as well. And, and then the middle child is an interesting one as well. And so what we thought we'd do today is just figure out what these personality types are and whether there's any truth to it. Because remember, as I said, these have been official studies in the field of psychology for nearly a century. We're joined by Dr. Deborah Olushola, who's a clinical psychologist. But before I go to her, we're now joined by Owen Machi, who is one of our sound engineers, who replaces Peter in the next 3 hours. And Owen, I know Peter's a firstborn. You are a?
I'm the middle child.
The problem child.
Wow.
Okay. And just on Team Power Talk, for instance, just for context, we've got Snethemba Drili, our producer. He's a firstborn child. And we have Nondu Luhutso, who's a lastborn child. And we have me, Lerato, the lastborn child as well. I feel like we've been completely overrun by the firstborns today. So it's nice to see a middle child too. Deborah Olushola, good morning.
Morning, morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, ma'am. And you are what? First, second, third, born, middle, what?
Oh, I am a proud firstborn.
Yeah. Today, the firstborns have been everywhere around us. Listen, thank you so much for coming. And so, as I said, and you can tell us, apparently this has been an intriguing field of study in your area.
Yes, it definitely is. I mean, because, you know, many people are interested to find out, is it because of my birth order? Is that why I am the way that I am? Mm-hmm. Has it got to do with our parents' development on when they had the children? Is it about culture? Is it about context? So it's a very interesting subject because one really wonders that what contributes to the personality, the characteristics of a child? And is it mainly on about the birth order?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what does research show? So you can tell, I've just done a little bit of reading, but you're the expert here. So let's start off with the firstborn, because a lot of things are said about the firstborn child. And yes. The traits, we're told, are that they are reliable, they're conscientious, structured, but they can also be very bossy and controlling and somewhat yes. a little bit abusive because of that privilege.
Yeah, I think one needs to keep in mind, you know, usually with the first child, it's, you know, parents are at a stage where the mixture of instinct and trial and error. So this is a new experience for them, and they sort of have to figure out what parenting is for them. So there they try to give the child as much attention as possible if they can, depending on their work schedules and where they are developmentally. And we find that sometimes parents with the first child tend to have very stringent rules with them. And parents can be very nitpicky with them, almost expecting perfection from them. And so with this kind of parental style, it leads to the firstborn, you know, aspiring to be perfectionists. They're trying to please their parents. And they tend to bask in their parents', you know, shadow. You know, and so when the other children come on, you know, usually the firstborn is much older, more development, has more responsibility. So the parents put quite a lot of responsibility on that first child. They expect them to do most of the chores, watch over the younger siblings. So that firstborn now starts to feel in charge. They start to feel like they're the leader because the parents have said, hey, you are in charge. Make sure nothing goes wrong. Make sure they do the right thing. Make sure they eat. So it boosts their ego at that particular point. And so they are, like you said earlier, they feel they are the deputy parent. So they start to now command for respect, command for order.
Now, what's troubling about this is that is the firstborn child allowed to be a child? They carry everybody's aspiration, the perfectionism you talk about. They are made to be responsible. They're also expected to be emotionally mature. Some people say, you know, when there are challenges in the family, financial challenges, or the parents are going through a divorce, they don't communicate it to any other child, but they'll always consult the firstborn. So the firstborn starts to be treated as a semi-adult in the equation.
Yes, and that is very true. A lot of firstborns actually tend to miss out on integral parts of their childhood because now, as soon as the second, third, fourth, fifthborn comes, a lot of responsibility is placed on them. So they're sort of taken out of that child role and being placed in an adult role. More adult expectations or roles are placed on them. And they have these intense feelings of fearing to fail their parents. You know, they want to make sure that they are good enough for their parents. They want to make sure that they please their parents. And they start to dread making mistakes because also depending on the parental style, if the parents have these high expectations, they don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to be disciplined or receive the hard end of the stick from their parents. So what this does, it sort of sometimes makes them emotionally unavailable because they don't get to be a child. They don't get to explore and make mistakes, you know, and so they sort of grow up quickly. They don't know what it's like necessarily to just be okay and just have fun because they have a lot of responsibilities. They have to do things. They have to do things like an adult. And that can really affect them as they grow up to become adults.
And that's on the negative. So on the positive, though, they are 30% more likely than anybody else to be CEOs and leaders in organizations.
Yes. Because, you know, like you said earlier, from the way the parents have brought them up, remember, it has to do with their parenting styles. If the parents, you know, brought up in such a way where they are perfectionist, where they are diligent and, you know, they have order and they are conscientious about time and things like that, that's what they grow up to be. And so, you know, in those kind of leadership roles, they've already developed those skills and abilities from a young age. So it's easy now for them to evolve and to enter into those roles such as a CEO because they've learned to be reliable. They've learned to be structured. Okay. They've learned to be cautious and controlling and to be achievers.
Okay. So let's go to the second child or the middle child. And sometimes it's the second and the third child if the family's a little bit bigger. So the middle child, number two, number three, that group, they are said to be a more complex personality type because the research says, as I'm reading, they bounce off the example of the firstborn, but they try to do everything in the opposite way to the older one because they want to distinguish themselves from the older one. And then they sometimes feel overshadowed by the firstborn child, and they sometimes feel forgotten by the parents.
Yeah. Yes, their position can be quite complex, you know, because by the time they enter to the world, they sort of lose their lastborn status. And they're sort of in a position where they say that, you know what, I'm not the firstborn and I'm not the lastborn. So, like, where do I fit? So we find that they are sort of struggling for a space or a status within the family, you know. Even those that are in bigger families, like you said, that they may be the middle child of siblings of four or five, but they aren't necessarily as much competition as they would, you'd see with a single middle child, because the parents' attentions are spread much over, you know, the number of children that they have and depending on their work schedules and things like that. But they can be complex because if they're struggling to find a place or position within the family, they may develop feelings or characteristics where they just feel like the family dynamics are unfair. They may feel like they don't really belong. They feel like they don't really get enough attention for the parents. Sometimes they feel they get compared to their older siblings or to their younger siblings, or they feel left out. Right. So they try to end up making a mark somewhere, and you find that they try to do that outside of the family because they're struggling.
I'm glad you've just said so. So their traits are said to be people pleasers. Their traits are rebellion. But their traits are also very sociable, because when they can't find a place inside the home, they go and find meaning in the community. So they are the children who are likely to have lots and lots of friends and create communities outside of the family, because that's where they can stand out. In groups of friendship, at school, in sport, etc.
Yes. No, indeed. Because as naturally as human beings, we desire social interactions. We desire relationships. So if they're not able to get it from their family, they're going to seek it outside. And so that's why we sometimes find that the middle child seems to be more independent. They don't always seem like they need support from others, because they have sort of found a way, you know, to make their mark amongst their peers, amongst their group of friends, since they're not getting the attention that they're getting from their parents or their older or younger siblings. They try to seek it out elsewhere. And then you find that they thrive more in their friendship groups, social groups, because that is where they feel more valued, and they feel like they have space. Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, though, and we are alluding to it, they have very fragile egos. And even into adulthood, the middle child is always a person with a fragile ego and needs to be loved differently in general. Is that true?
Yes. At times, yes. Going back to what I was saying regarding how they see, it depends on how they see themselves, especially within the family structure or the family unit. Mm. So if, for example, it's a single middle child, they may see life as unfair because their parents are not giving them the kind of attention they gave either to the firstborn or to the lastborn. And so this will affect their self-esteem. They feel unloved, they feel left out, and they may feel like they don't have the rights and responsibilities of as the older sibling, or even the privileges of the younger sibling. So they tend to go around life wondering, where do I belong? Who am I? Who am I becoming? You know, and so they are struggling to adapt. And so that this really can affect their ego and their development as they grow up.
Does it make a difference if it's like a family of four? And so there's two middle children. Does it make it easier on middle child two and three versus if it's three children and there's only one middle child?
Well, it really just depends on the parents and their parental style.
Okay.
And the context, the way the children are brought up. So sometimes parents with more children try to evenly spread the love and the attention. Sometimes parents find it difficult. So it really just depends on the parental styles and where they are. The parents are developmentally as well.
Okay. Let's talk about the baby. Now, obviously, everybody tends to be protective of the child. And the traits that the last born is said to exhibit are they are fun-loving, they are outgoing, they are uncomplicated, but they are also manipulative is a word associated psychologically in the field of psychology with the last born child.
Yes. Yeah, this is quite interesting, you know, because there have been theories that say that the last born tend to be the parents' last hope, you know, the final attempt at perfecting, you know, parenthood, because they've seen what the firstborn and middle and other children have gone through, the difficulties, yeah. You know, usually parents, when they start having children, it's not really a hard time. But by the time the last born comes, parents sometimes want to shield them from, you know, inevitable problems and disappointments and everything they went through with the first few children at the beginning. So that now leads to them coddling yeah. that child. They tend to be more protective over that last born, giving them more attention, more freedom, less responsibility than all the siblings that came before them. Yeah. And so this can affect now their personality and the person that they right. become eventually.
One of the criticisms against the last borns is that they receive the least discipline. By the time the parents get there, they're so tired of running around, you know, reprimanding children that they just become more relaxed and lax with this one. And because the last born doesn't get disciplined the way the others, that's what makes them bratty and brash.
Well, let's look at it from this angle. Sometimes parents use discipline as an incentive to punish their firstborn child, you know, in a sense that if the firstborn is engaging in risky behaviors, they will discipline the first one to try and deter the lastborn child. So what happens over time is that, so usually the firstborn is used as a scapegoat, you know, just to try and prevent the lastborn from getting into any kind of trouble or any kind of problems. But now with that is that now the child starts to feel invincible. Because no one, you know, is really making them accountable for what it is that they are doing. And so parents tend to think that, okay, they're the younger ones. They don't understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So you as the older one need to make sure. So there's a lot of responsibility that is taken away from them. Or they don't get to learn about taking responsibility, okay. You know, as compared to their older siblings, which now yeah. is seen as more challenging then, because then they feel they can get away with right. almost anything and everything. We find younger children, when they do something naughty, parents said, who did it? They blame the first one. And the parents don't necessarily ask the first one. They just discipline the firstborn becomes so angry and resentful right. towards yeah. that lastborn.
You know, I'm going to be very honest with all the listeners. I think I'm a pretty cool yeah. person. I love fun and people know I laugh a lot, etc. But I struggle with authority. I resent being bossed around. Mm. And I think it has a lot to do with this accountability issue you're talking about. Anyway, yeah. we'll be back in a moment.
Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
It's the Culture Corner and we're talking about, you know, the birth order and what that does for personality development. We're in conversation with clinical psychologist Deborah Olushola. A very quick question, and then I want to just do something fun with you. Does the gender of the child matter? Does it matter that you are a first-born female or a last-born male? Does it complicate things?
Not necessarily. It okay. really just depends on the cultural beliefs the children come from, you know, the worldviews that their parents have. Right. So at the end of the day, children are just sensitive to the differences in their parents' affection, warmth, pride, attention, and discipline. Okay. So they're attuned to the emotional exchanges that are going on around right. them. So that is what affects their development and their personality. Okay. So not necessarily their gender, yes.
Okay. Another question, the only child.
Yes.
They've got no one to compete with. How do yes. they develop?
Well, based on their interactions with the parents. So they get to get all the attention from their parents. Their parents focus on what their needs are so in tune to their needs. So they are able to develop based on that. And if their parents are able to take them, for example, to preschool at a reasonable age, mm-hmm. then they're also able to interact with their peers and classmates easy if they start early enough. But if the parents tend to hold on to them much longer and, for example, only take them to grade R, which we tend to see a lot, then we have issues in terms of separation anxiety because the child is so used to just being with the mom or being with the dad. They're not really exposed to other social groups, other families. And so that will affect now their ability to socialize because they have been so, would I say, overprotected and they stay mainly in the house. And so that separation anxiety can really affect their ability.
Are they selfish?
Stepping out of the home. Not always. Okay. Not always. It really just depends on how the parents have raised the child. Okay. If the parents have have instilled in their mind that they need to learn to share. And like I said, if they've gone to preschool early, they will learn those traits there and then. But if they have told that this is only for you, don't share, don't do this, then yes, then they may pick up that trait of this is all mine.
Okay, we've got one caller coming through. I have to be honest, I've tried to say no calls because I wanted us to talk about the wealth of experiences. Dr. Hamlet?
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Indeed, deputy parent, I've seen that throughout, but it's a beautiful experience, you know, one that is, you know, I think it comes from the heart, you know, you're given the grace to be the firstborn, to understand that your responsibility is to be a catalyst of some sort, you know, to ensure that you are that one that opens the gate, you know, for everybody else. But it does not stop there. And I think I've been blessed, and I think my thing is that the heart that I have goes to all my siblings to this day. I parent my last-born brother, who's 32, who doesn't want to change, but I can't give up on it because my dad is late and he left that responsibility with me.
Okay. Thank you for that, Dr. Hamlet. Keep on being the deputy parent. Antle and Greenstone, you've got something to say?
Hi, yes, I do. Lerato. Mina, I'm not the firstborn child. I'm not 14 number two. I'm number three, but I'm the firstborn yamantombazane. So, Zala na bafana ba seven. I'm the only girl.
Yes.
So, I'm still a deputy parent because my brothers, they all come crying to me. And my parents, they were putting responsibility on me as the only girl.
Yeah.
So, in our culture, really, things they don't work like in other cultures.
Yeah.
Whether I'm the second, but yintombazane yokuqala.
Yeah. And I think... thanks, Entle. I think this is an important one. When I asked you about gender, whether it matters, Deborah, and what Entle is saying is she's the only girl amongst boys and she's not even the first child. She's in the middle, but she's treated as the most responsible one because she's the girl child. So culture comes into play here.
Yes, cultural beliefs and how they see the roles of the men and the woman in the family.
Yeah. Okay, so as we end the conversation, I just want to read you a list of who's who, famous firstborns, middle children, etc. So famous firstborns are Prince William, as we've seen, Oprah Winfrey, Hillary Clinton, Sylvester Stallone, and the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Winston Churchill. Do they fit the firstborn mark? You decide. Famous middle children, you will not believe it. Nelson Mandela, Abraham Lincoln, President John F. Kennedy, President Thabo Mbeki, Martin Luther King, Donald Trump, there's always one, and Madonna and Bill Gates. But some of the world's greatest achievers are middle children. And famous last-borns, Prince Harry, Mark Twain, Eddie Murphy, Serena Williams, Celine Dion, Janet Jackson. What does this tell you, Deborah Olushola?
Well, basically what it tells us is that the birth order does not automatically impact your personality. Your personality is shaped by biological factors, social factors, cultural factors, physical environment, and the structure a person comes from. So that all contributes to who eventually the person is going to become. So it's not solely focused alone on the birth order.
This has been such a fascinating conversation, and I hope we can have others with you. Deborah Olushola, clinical psychologist, firstborn, and an authority on the subject. It's been the Wednesday edition of Power Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in. As we say goodbye and handing over to Power Lunch, let me ask you, Nkosikhona Malinga, you are child number?
One.
Hi, I'm my firstborn. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.